We're going to start off at what was going on at 10 o'clock in the morning today in the Dáil, Sarah, and that is Independent Ireland's proposal for a new Department of Efficiency and Reform. So what did we hear?
A hump day gift from Independent Ireland. So Michael Collins tabled a motion, a private member's motion on waste and public expenditure. And the motion essentially wanted Dáil Éireann to note that overspending and waste within the public sector not only erodes trust in government, but diverts resources from essential services. And as members of Dáil Éireann, TDs are therefore custodians of the public purse and have a duty to be transparent and achieve value for money for the taxpayer. He then proceeded to list off 14 examples of public waste.
Do you want to give us a few of them there?
Oh, yes, of course.
This is what he said was waste anyway.
Examples. It was actually kind of like reeling in the years. You were kind of like, I forgot about that. The 808,000 Euro Dáil printer scandal where a printer was purchased but could not fit into the print room, leading to over 230,000 euro modifications. What year was that? That's probably going back to 2017.
That's going back a while. Your colleague Craig Hughes broke that one.
He did indeed. The 725 million euro RTE bailout, the Office of Public Works, numerous examples there, the security hut, the wall at the Workplace Relations Commission, the National Children's Hospital overrun, which has surpassed 2.5 billion euro. It was meant to be originally delivered long ago at 650 million euro, the 22 million euro on COVID ventilators that never worked, and so on and so forth. Right. So lots of examples there. And I suppose Michael will probably be able to speak to this better.
But yeah, we'll get a rundown from what's proposed from in a minute, but go on anyway. Yeah.
The kernel of the argument that was being made by all representatives of Independent Ireland was that while this lavish spending, I suppose, is going on and value for money is not being achieved, there are people who feel very hard done by in all kind of corners of the country. Michael Collins paid particular focus to Cork, his hometown, and he kind of made the example of while there is a pensioner languishing in their homes with, you know, struggling to heat their house and lonely and very little support for them, there is a 7 million euro failed IT project within the Arts Council. That was the kind of crux of the argument. And I suppose in just speaking from internally in Leinster House, because there's so much going on all the time and a lot of it can be so removed from the actual public, there oftentimes is a lot of questioning of, does the public actually care about this? You know, when Padraig Toby, no offence Paul, is standing up in the Dáil talking about something like the incineration of what X amount of public funds, you're kind of looking at them like, do the people really care about this? You know, should we be looking at something else?
I think the debate today kind of outlined, at least according to everybody who stood up and spoke about it,
yeah,
that everybody had anecdotal evidence that the public very
exactly
much do care about it.
So it was a useful exercise in that kind of reaffirmation point. It proceeded to go on. There were plenty of voices from across the opposition. Jack Chambers spoke and essentially he kind of tabled a counter motion. He struck down the one that Independent Ireland said, and he basically said that the Dáil would recognise that the government condemns the waste of public money, but it notes the significant sums that have been spent on providing better services, and then essentially just gave a glowing report card of what the government has achieved.
And he outlined some of the internal systems that are in place in order to provide checks and balances as well. You know, the policies and guidelines and other things that are supposed to be abided by when public money has been spent.
Of course, yeah. And I suppose all of those things that he was outlining, you know, like particularly in the OPW, say all the work that was done there after the revelation of the 336,000 euro bike shed, he did outline all of those kind of processes that have been instigated. But I think the problem with that argument is it all feels very abstract and it doesn't feel tangible like the argument that some of the opposition was making. Padraig Toby of Aintu also tabled a counter motion, and instead of this Doge-like department, he said that there should be a Minister of State for Accountability nominated and located within the department, the Taoiseach, to track live procurement and infrastructural projects. Sinn Féin came forward, Mairead Farrell came forward with, you know, legislative change. There was a couple of ideas there. There was also condemnation from the left of this idea of a Doge-style department. You know, Sinead Gibney basically made the point that we shouldn't be taking any notes from Elon Musk, and how he is.
Although it should be pointed out, Independent Ireland did say, I'm sure Michael
made that point in the Dáil today, actually.
This proposal was made before the last general election.
14 months ago.
But the colonel of the...
The Musk guy was actually making Tesla cars at the time.
Anyway, we'll go on. We will finish up with the debate, and then we'll get into what the proposal was. Give us another couple of contributions there. And,
there was a fascinating contribution from Kevin Boxer Moore.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this one. This is, I think, the only defence I have heard mounted in public to date on the spending on the bike shed. Although he was quick to correct. That terminology, wasn't he? He said it was a shelter.
He did.
Not a shed.
It was not a walled structure, to be fair to him. But
and the spending on the Hill of Tara also.
The spending on the Hill of Tara was my personal highlight. You know, a lot of people.
This is for listeners. It's a wall on the Hill of Tara. But anyway,
they have spent 12 years kind of doing up and, you know, making it look lovely. It's still not done. But his word for word, he said there's been a lot of talk about the Hill of Tara. The OPW is not building a wall at the Hill of Tara. It is carrying out maintenance work on a wall at the Hill of Tara. It might have gone on for 12 years and it might go on for another 12, but the Hill of Tara has never closed. It's always been open to business in that time, and sure, what harm is it doing, was essentially how we finished.
There was
that
a bigger maintenance problem in ancient times on the Hill of Tara. There was a ferry in a nearby ring fort kept coming out
and
burning it down. He was eventually defeated by Fionn MacCool with the aid of a magic spear he'd been given by an old ally of his father's. The fairy used to put everybody to sleep and then they could burn down the halls of Tara. But Fionn MacCool with the magic spear pressed it to his forehead anyway, and it pursued the fairy into his fort.
Well,
a savage spear altogether. Anyway, Michael from Fitzmaurice,
just got a history lesson there.
It's not a mighty magic spear you're proposing, but something, I suppose, with a laser-like focus that will pursue waste maybe in the same determined fashion that the magic spear left Fionn MacCool's hand and laid waste to this particular ferry.
Yeah, the first thing that needs to be made clear is I don't think anybody or any politician agrees with waste.
Yeah. Will you just kind of take it from the ground floor and lay out what it is?
Let me take it from the first block. And the reality of it is that in this country at the moment, be it on what has been highlighted, but it's not alone that... We spoke to Boxer today on the lakes of Cross Malina.
This is a flood works in Cross Malina.
And Boxer went down in 2015, December 2015. Next week, the first sod will be turned on that 10 years later. That's, in my opinion, not acceptable, because the red tape and the bureaucracy we're going through is not acceptable, because communities got flooded down in that place. And we've made it very clear. What's wrong with having a review of, like, NGOs? Everyone jumps up and jumps down. We made it very clear there's great work done by NGOs.
Just for the listeners' benefit, because anyone who didn't tune into the debate today, Michael Collins, when he was up proposing the motion, he said there are 350 NGOs in receipt of government money and he wanted to see that reviewed.
Yeah, a review of it. And some may need more money and some may be wasting money. What's wrong with on the housing bodies? And we have seen it coming up. The government had to go back and bail out housing bodies that were getting a lot of money. What is wrong with looking at what we have done before? And if deeper was the answer to everything, if the Controller and Auditor General was the answer to everything, would these things be showing up? The answer is no.
Okay, so that's the question. Tell us what your proposal is. Is it still, as you're proposing it, what you laid out before the general election, that you would have this Department of Efficiency and Reform operating, as you said, in a similar basis to Revenue or HICWA, set-up costs 45 million, annual operating budget 15 million from then on, with an aim of saving 10% of the annual government budget?
Yes, correct. And the first thing is that they would come from the private sector. There wouldn't be people from the public sector involved in it. And second of all, they would be on contract. So what you do, or the system you would have, is that you had to produce the goods, to make sure that the savings were made. And if you weren't doing that, well, obviously then you wouldn't be there staying on. Right. Because the problem at the moment is that no matter what we look at, be it in the HSE or be it in any different department, no matter who makes the mistake, there is no accountability. There is no repercussions. There is nobody going to answer for what went on. And that has to stop.
And you say in your proposal that it will issue recommendations or corrective measures and escalate unresolved issues to the CNAG. So the CNAG has the ultimate say in it at the moment. The CNAG's annual costs at the moment are about 15 million euro. In fact, in the last annual report they returned, they actually returned a surplus on that as well. So what's your body going to achieve for 15 million euro that the CNAG is not achieving for 15 million euro?
I think it's 40 million, is there 45?
45. 45 to set it up and then 15 million.
Were you not better spending 40 or 45 million with people that were capable and saving maybe a billion on a children's hospital? Was that not common sense and use of money rather than being penny-wise and pound-foolish?
Okay. Peter Chapclear. I'll be referring to Peter Chapclear. For anyone who doesn't know him as Chap from here on in, this is how he prefers to be referred to. So it's not me being over-familiar and using a nickname. This is his preferred term of address. But Chap, what's your view of the proposal here?
Yeah, I suppose, first of all, I think it's very important to acknowledge and to stress, I suppose, the overwhelming majority of capital projects are delivered on time and on budget. But occurrences of wasteful expenditure, and there are many, they're not acceptable. Full stop. And I suppose as we plan for increased capital investment in infrastructure to improve people's lives, a focus on value for money and proper oversight and management is more important than ever. And if we look at 2024, the state delivered 14.6 billion worth of capital projects. And yes, there are issues with some of them, and that's not acceptable. And I'm as disappointed as anybody with some of the cases that have come to light in recent weeks and months. It's just simply not. Some of those examples of waste are unacceptable. But I can also reference, for example, many really good projects that were delivered in my constituency of Carrick-Kilkenny, things like the sports capital projects, where hundreds of thousands of euro went into communities and local organisations and GA clubs for the betterment of those communities. Mm. So whilst absolutely I'm not saying there aren't challenges and issues there, but it's important to have a balance.
And where those challenges and issues exist, is this the way to solve them, in your view, what Independent Ireland have proposed?
No. I mean, I think it's very interesting that the Independent Ireland have proposed a new Minister of State for Accountability when, I suppose, not that long ago, there was uproar in the Dáil over the number of Minister of States going up to 23. So to go against it a couple of weeks ago and then ask for a new Minister of State for Accountability is interesting, to say the least. But I suppose, look, the government has a range of oversight mechanisms in place pertaining to public expenditure. Michael referenced them earlier on, the Public Spending Code for Current Expenditure, the Code of Practice of the Governance of State Bodies, Public Financial Procedures, Public Procurement Guidelines. But it is the legal responsibility of departments to ensure that they and the bodies under their remit, that they comply with the governance, and in particular value for money. Okay. That's really, really important here, Cormac. The value for money is crucial.
So, Paul Lawless, is this, you put your aim through, put down an amendment to the Independent Ireland motion to try and get this Department of Efficiency and Reform up and running? You say you want a Minister of State responsible for this. So are you in broad agreement then with Independent Ireland on this?
Firstly, the issue of waste is so frustrating to so many people. And I know in some ways you can almost be immune to it, because every single week we hear of more and more issues, more and more overspends. And it's not a victimless crime, because overspends and waste of money results, for example, in lack of housing, healthcare, so many issues. And the truth is, and we'll be here again.
Well, to be clear, overspends are not a crime in and of themselves, but I know what you mean. There is a cost.
There is a real cost to this. And we'll be here again, and we'll be here again next week. We'll be here again next month. We'll hear more and more millions of euros of taxpayers' money wasted unless and until we bring in accountability in the public service. And that is what we tried to do. And that is what we tried to do by bringing in the motion today, or the counter motion to the government's motion. And what that motion really set out to do was to introduce a disciplinary process for senior civil servants who repeatedly waste public funds. And we also sought to essentially bring in a junior minister as part of the Department of Taoiseach, who would report to the Taoiseach in relation to live projects. Now, it's hard to believe that, that's a very reasonable, common sense thing where we would have accountability. It was an amendment to the Independent Ireland's motion and a counter amendment to the government's motion, and that was rejected.
All right.
We'll be here again next month, and we'll be here again next year until we reintroduce accountability.
Okay. Can I just be very clear here? That's my view and the view of everyone in government, that there simply has to be accountability and value for money for state spending, and especially where there are specific questions over value for money considerations.
I would like to know, can you name one person who is responsible for any one of the lists that was read out? Like one person who is responsible.
Please don't go naming people.
This is actually
and holding
the point.
Them accountable.
Accountability. Accountability means something. It doesn't mean words and spin that we hear from government. It means that someone must be held to account for wasting
public money. I have a money question. So, Michael Fitzmaurice.
Just one second first. Can I just come back on one thing, and I want to wish Peter Chap and Paul the best. But Peter talked about something there. He actually gave the thing at the Sports Capital Grant. Yeah, mighty job. Do you know why? Because a lump of money is given to a club of local communities that run it as tight as ever you could run it, have to have matching funding, and that's done well. I'll give you an example.
Oh, well, hang on a second. Hang on a second, Michael Fitzgerald. Just a second. Yeah. The process of drawing down that funding is a huge amount of form filling has to be done. Yeah. They have to write it down in detail. Correct. Then it's overseen by the department, which plays a central role in allocating the funding. Yeah. It's not like money is thrown to a community and they just have the innate ability. No, I know, but there is a departmental role in that.
But I know what communities done, but they're given the lump sum and they're able to have to show match funding and they have to show value for money to be able to
But I also know GA clubs and community groups, like, they get a significant amount of funding from the Sports Capital, record funding. But obviously the projects with increases in costs and supplies, the projects overran as well.
Can I just give more examples of what goes on? Right, at the moment, just look at simple things.
All right, can I just say one thing before
you go any further? In the line of housing, is there anything wrong with an oversight body saying to the department, hey guys, if somebody's building 100 houses in the private sector, they should be able to tender in the public sector. Is there something wrong that's doing 500 kilometres a year of water mains for the county council or for group water schemes that they cannot now tinder for Irish water?
It's a money question I want to ask you. So first of all, where did your costings come from for the 45 million and €15 million?
We had three guys that done up all our costings.
Okay, and what your proposal says is you want to appoint commissioners through a competitive tender process to tackle targeting qualified private professionals such as private sector efficiency consultants, solicitors, auditors, accountants, actuaries, tasked to address procurement and tendering processes to streamline and improve efficiency with implementation of timelines and goals for delivery. But those particular professions, solicitors, auditors, accountants, actuaries, you want this done on a regional basis. There'll be regional commissioners and an overall setup. I mean, you're looking at a lot of professionals. There are few enough firms with the scale and ability to do that. They're all very expensive. You're saying you're going to have them on contract rather than hiring them as permanent staff. And presumably there'll be some kind of a cooling off period where they can't just take their insider information from going from this department and go back out and work in the private sector. So you'll have to compensate them for that as well.
First of all, if you were on a tender contract for basically looking at where you do cost efficiency, it doesn't be telling you everything that's going on in the world. Second of all, you will need the likes of QSs, you will need contract lawyers, you will need... Right, give you the example. Why do you need a contract lawyer? If we had a contract lawyer in the likes of the Children's Hospital that was able to watch the type of contract that went out, we would have saved a lot of money. And why are we just penny-pinching? If it costs more than the controller, as I've said earlier... I'm not afraid to say that you could give more money.
Save yourself, though, the 45 million setup costs and give the 15 million annual to the Controller and Auditor General?
But if you give the 15 million, it's not working. Have a look at their history, what's gone on over the last 10 years. Have a look at the litany of stuff that has happened. Has anyone been accountable? No. We need to change that, because at the end of the day, it's taxpayers' money out there that has given this money. Right. We need to, the more we save, the better the services.
Okay, one more question before we go back to the panel. What does accountability mean? Because this is, you're finding the waste with this department, but who applies the sanction and where is the reworking of the relationship between the state as employer and the civil service as workers? How is that reworked in order to provide the kind of accountability you're talking about?
If you have a new body that's over that from the private sector, they will find where the waste is. They will find, they will actually stop the gap before the gate opens.
I know, but what is it's the accountability I'm asking about. If you're talking about holding people to account, you know, at the moment, are you looking at revising the sort of the performance structures and all of that in the civil service? Because if you are, you're talking about renegotiating
The holding of people to account would be this new department that would be set up. They're coming in as contractors, and if they don't produce the goods, they ain't going to get another contract. That's the way it works.
Paul Lawless, you're talking about holding people to account. When you say that, what do you mean by holding people to account?
Yeah, so like, you know, it's a very obvious thing, and the government say there is accountability, but the truth is, right, we're talking about billions of euros of Irish taxpayers' money, hard-earned, right, a cost which is significant to our people. And yet, the government cannot name one person who's suffered sanctions as a result of the millions of euros wasted. Who signed off, for example, on the bus shelter? Who signed off, for example, on 500,000 euros of the OPW wall? Mm. And the truth is that the government and the civil service, there's no one held to account. So
that's what I'm asking you. Let's take it away from the projects. We're not going to kind of get into identifying individuals and suggest. But if you found a project where, or if a Department of Efficiency and Reform found a project where there'd been an overspend, in an ideal world, in your view, what would happen?
Well, Aintu have said for a very long time that accountability must be written into the contracts of senior civil servants.
I know, but for people who already have contracts, I mean, that ship has sailed. So what are you talking about?
Well, like I said at the start of the show, Cullum, we'll be here next year. We'll be here in 2 years. We'll be here in 5 years. So let's start the process now. And all future contracts should... I mean, this is a basic and a common sense thing. This accountability should be written into the contracts of senior civil servants, and where there is repeated examples of wasting Irish taxpayers' money, that should come with sanctions. Okay. And those sanctions and those penalties should include up to including losing one's job, because that's what happens in the private sector.
But that's not something the government rejected our amendment today and refused to vote with it.
Yeah. Why won't you accept accountability in relation to the public service?
Well, maybe if you answer Colin's questions rather than asking me questions, because he asked you a very specific question, is what would you do to the people that already have existing contracts?
And like I said, we'd write accountability into all future projects, and we would reopen and negotiations around... we would reopen negotiations
to them. For an existing staff member that has an existing contract,
and future contracts should. But my question, why won't you ensure accountability?
I suppose, look, I want to be very clear here. That there are certain government frameworks that are already in place, right? And ongoing works to make improvements in these frameworks and the constitutionally independent oversight provided by the Office of the Controller and Auditor General, there is no requirement for the establishment of a new body that would duplicate the important work of the Controller and Auditor General and that would not have the same constitutionally independent and impartial role of the Controller and Auditor General. And the reality is, I mean, Michael said of a figure of 45 million that three guys did it, you know. I mean...
Yeah, well, and that guy is there.
Well, you said three guys, but was it done on the back of a post stamp, or what was it done? I'm sure it was professionally done.
One of them was an economist.
Right, okay.
So will you take their figures, would you?
I'd take their figures,
right. I mean, but which economist?
That's a private thing for us.
Okay, fair enough.
They're well established in Ireland. I understand. Okay.
Peter Chapclear, just on the accountability bit, the Controller and Auditor General, and you know, it does very detailed and comprehensive reports, but it's limited in the programme of work it can do. So, I mean, is there an argument for increasing the scope of the Controller and Auditor General, giving it greater resources? And if so, why hasn't that happened when there is evidence that there has been serious overruns in spending to date?
Yeah, the first thing to say, I suppose, the value of the independent oversight provided by the Office of the Controller and Auditor General, it cannot be overstated. But Minister Chambers did say it today, and he committed to taking further measures to strengthen the rules to ensure we get value for money is achieved. And he's going to review procedures and policies governing expenditure across government. And I think when our committees are set up, I think both of my colleagues would agree here, when the committees get set up, we'll have a really good opportunity to get into the detail of a lot of these difficulties that we're facing.
The only problem I would always say is with the committees, and the sooner they're set up, in my opinion, the better. But the one problem is we seem to get it when the harm is done. That's the problem in all committees. I've sat in the Agriculture Committee, and we need to stop this at the beginning, because I'm back to the one thing. Why are we afraid to even nearly talk about this? Why are we afraid to review things? Why are we afraid to try and get better buck for money? And you know it, Peter, you worked in our chap, you were in the council for many a year, and you saw the system that worked in the council. Yep. If they hadn't the money spent by the end of the year, they had to get rid of it for by Christmas. Am I right or wrong?
Correct.
Because if they didn't, their budget was cut the following year. Why don't we reward them people? And if they're getting value for money per kilometre for tearing roads or doing whatever they're doing, why don't we give them more money rather than hanging, basically telling them, if you don't spend that money, right, you're not going to get it. Am I right or wrong, Peter?
Another thing you had set up there was an IT system, Michael Collins was talking about. If you can track a parcel as far as China and the progress of it, it shouldn't be too hard to track public money. I mean, you'd appreciate tracking the where money goes within the public service is a pretty massive IT project. Are you ready to take that on?
Well, in my opinion, we've got to do it. I know it's a big project.
An expensive project.
But we've got to do these things because we cannot keep going down. Right, are we prepared to waste 2 or 3 billion a year if you went over all the sectors?
But sure, none of these projects lack ambition. It's the point is when they're up and running and they get extended and extended and extended that the cost overruns happen.
Oh no, but hold on, I beg your pardon. The first thing is, it depends on the contract you give someone. The hospital contract was a contract with an open book. Mm. Do you give that contract or do you not? Do you get better advice on the type of contract you give? That's the simple way of solving them.
Let's go to the listeners on this one. Cullum, can all the departments in government not be run like revenue? I know they collect the money, but they're great to deal with. You ring someone and answer the phone. They're very efficient. All the other departments just dump out the money, says Mick in Tullamore. I checked the revenue's annual budget is about half a billion, which is what provides that service. Please ask why nobody has ever brought to account for the waste of money across the board. Why is nobody ever asked to account for their huge lack of judgment? We are two pensioners who've just had our pensions docked by €70 each per week. Peanuts, but not to us. Why, say Patricia and Ulton by text to 51551. And Declan, again by text, says the waste in healthcare is unbelievable. The cost of keeping someone in hospital, and just think of the savings that could be made by keeping people in their own homes. Too many pen pushers. Going back to your original point, Sarah, on the emotion that was being communicated throughout this, people's sense of outrage about waste and how they view the prioritisation of public money. It doesn't just relate to money, though, isn't it? It's a pretty corrosive thing in society that leads people to get very angry and heavily influences their political decision making.
Yeah, and like this is obviously quite an extreme example, but just from talking to backbenchers in government when Storm Éowyn occurred, and obviously, you know, the kind of line that everyone has been getting for the last 4 years is, we are flush with money. We have so much money. We're going to be fine, lads. Like, it's grand, but people were without power for 2 weeks. Chap, you might be able to speak to this. There was huge frustration on the ground. And I think that was a time where backbenchers really came under pressure because, of course, they would have to deal with constituents on a daily basis saying, you know, like, where's this sports hall? Where's this football pitch? Whatever. But this was kind of one time where it was, we are bursting at the seams here with cash. Where is that coming from? So I think it's something that, like, everyone across the Dáil, as Michael said, is conscious of. And it kind of, I suppose, while the motion was not ultimately passed that was tabled by Independent Ireland, I think that in leaders' questions, say, for example, it can all sound very samey when it's Ivana Bagchic, Paddy Toby and Mary Lou McDonnell all standing up and, you know, pointing the finger over at Micheál Martin and him having tetchy exchanges back with them over, you know, the kind of abstract public spending and the waste of it. Whereas this debate actually did kind of give real life examples like we just heard there about that couple who have had their pensions cut. And I'm sure that it's, as we've all kind of outlined here, it's certainly not a problem that's going to go away.
All right. Chap, the measures that were outlined by Jack Chambers when he addressed it and Kevin Boxer Moore in mounting a defence of the bike shelter and the wall, indeed the security hut. You know, it's we didn't hear, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, they were saying that the systems are in place and that decisions were made for a particular reason. But in the future spending of money and the need to control and supervise that, did we hear anything on how things are going to change to prevent future overspends and waste?
No, but I think it's very important. Like, I'm a newly elected TD for Carlow Kilkenny. I'm only in the door. And, you know, there were examples given today of wasteful spending. And it's important not to run away from that, not to hide from that. There are examples out there that, and the people are rightly outraged by it. And I certainly wouldn't stand over the bike shed, for example, as a value for money project. However, I think it's really important to put it in the context of 14.6 billion of a capital project spend last year. And whilst there are instances that are there, I believe that the measures that Jack Chambers is looking at introducing, in addition to the current powers that are there, should give us the oversight required. My background is finance, as I said to you. I couldn't and I wouldn't stand over some of the examples that have been given earlier on. But at the same time, you know, we need to make sure that going forward that there really is accountability on that spending side of things.
Did you hear anything, Sarah, that was that went beyond the systems are fine, it's just a matter of making them work?
Not really, no. And also, I don't know if the systems are fine, particularly in the OPW. Just speaking from an outsider's perspective, I'm still querying things in the OPW and not getting responses. Like, there is still lack of transparency there. And I know other journalists are having the same issues. So the measures certainly aren't really working there. And that was put to the former minister, Kieran O'Donnell, about 3 months ago. And he was looking into it at the time. So we must query Kevin Buckler-Moran and see what he's doing about it now. But what I will say is this issue has definitely grown legs, and it's seems to be something that has become somewhat of a legacy matter for certain, particularly new ministers, because Jennifer Carroll McNeill was out today and she basically has been told by her department officials, in accordance with her ministerial brief, that a budget surplus is not an option for her this year. You know, she has to be on budget. She's not getting a bailout and that's it. So I asked her about that today and she said, yeah, I don't really have another choice. If I want multi-annual funding, which I do, I have to deliver, my department has to deliver online and in budget.
Right.
So I think that pressure, all of this ultimately boils down to a culture, because you can talk about private sector versus public sector, but ultimately it comes from the top down. And I think you see that in various examples throughout government. There seems to be pressure on the top now, which will be interesting to see.
Michael Fitzmaurice, where does it go from here? You put forward the motion. The motion was defeated. So where does the proposal go?
Not sure if a motion is defeated. Obviously, the government is the majority. The government can decide what they're going to do. But over the coming months, we won't sit back on our laurels. We will keep watching what's going on. We will bring it up again, because that's our job as opposition. Like, we're not going to go, there's no point in saying to you, well, this will change overnight. But we need to highlight where the problems are. We need to put out solutions, like we're doing. At least we're not just jumping, shouting across and saying, well, this is wrong and that's wrong. We're given a solution on how we believe it should be sorted. And that's what you do in politics.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to have a look at policing when we come back.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.